whenever you create a piece of art, you want to have at least three lives for it. Like, one life would be, I advertise my book with this image on social media. Another purpose is it's a poster, and another one is it's one of the spreads in the book. So it has these different functions. That just means that you get more bang for your buck out of the time you spend making the art.
Welcome to the future of pickleball. Here we are on Selkirk TV, the best app in all of pickleball. You want to actually take the opportunity, if you're seeing this on YouTube, which it's also broadcast on, but on the YouTube or on the Selkirk TV app, all 71 interviews that have been done on this channel are available. I've had some great guests in the business of pickleball, and I've got a very, very interesting guest today. I want to welcome Will Terry to the show. Hi, Will.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Will has a little bit of a different background than a lot of the pickleball business people I have, but I've had in my travels and in my involvement with the sport, I've talked to a great number of people who have had ideas or thoughts about, they thought they'd like to publish sometime about the things that they do in pickleball. That is where Will is a real expert. I want to give you a little bit of a background on this man. Will has been an illustrator, professional illustrator, his entire life. He has illustrated over 30 children's books in his lifetime. He is a teacher of illustration at the Utah Valley State College. And later on in this episode, we're going to talk about what he does professionally, helping and coaching illustrators learn how to make a living in that industry. So that being said, Will, why don't you start us off with a little bit about, you know, kind of how you got into the game, where things came from, and how you kind of segued into illustration in the pickleball space. We'll start there and then go on.
All right, cool. Yeah. So I was minding my own business as a children's book illustrator, just bouncing along, illustrating book after book. And then the climate changed a little bit in that publishers started looking for more marginalized groups to publish their books with, right? To illustrate and to write. And I started finding myself, even as a veteran illustrator, kind of being pushed to the side a little bit, you know? And that kind of got me thinking, well, if that's going to happen, maybe I need to take a little bit more control over what I can control. And that took me into first, I had been teaching at UVU in Utah, but I stepped down. I was an adjunct position because I realized the technology of one, the internet, and the technology of being able to send videos to anyone for free, you know, using YouTube. My lectures at the university were being, you know, I give one and it evaporates. If I put one down in video, it stays for a lifetime. So long story short, I created an online platform for learning to be an illustrator. And that's called svslearn.com. So that was my first foray into self-publishing, right? In leaving the machine behind, kind of, and going on my own. And That's primarily what I do now. Is I teach with a couple of partners, and we teach people how to be children's book illustrators. But then that got me thinking, you know, well, maybe I start self-publishing some books. So I self-published a few books and learned how to market them and how to get them out there, and did some ebooks and did quite well with those. And then We moved down here to Arizona, and that's where I met you, Paul. Shortly after, my wife and I started playing pickleball. So it's a kind of a long story. I had a wife that passed away unexpectedly. That was really kind of a tragedy in my life and in my kids' lives. And then I met Lily, and we didn't want to live near her kids in Colorado or my kids in Utah. We didn't want to pick a side. So her mom lives down here in Arizona. So this is a state I said, I went to the Phoenix Comic Con. I think it was 2019, and it was 119 degrees. And I said, I know one thing for sure. I will never live in this state. So when my wife suggested, well, maybe we could just move down to Arizona. I'm like, I promised I would never live there. So anyway, we started playing tennis. Her stepdad was a real avid tennis player, and her uncle, and we came down here, and I had played a little bit of tennis. I'm a racquetball player, so I really came from racquetball. She didn't have a sport, so we started goofing around on the tennis court. Well, then when the summer hit, everybody, you know, bailed out of here, and we couldn't put a game together. You know, we'd get there and there'd be three people. And then we saw pickleball, you know, and we saw that there was, you know, 10 or 20 people playing pickleball, even through the summer, you know, early in the morning. So we said, well, we got to go where there's people playing something. So we found ourselves in pickleball. And then I think I met you probably 2 years after that. And we were sitting in the hot tub. And so it's me and Lily, and you were with, I think it was Michael, wasn't it?
Yeah. I can't remember Mike's last name, but yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And we got to talking about what we do, and I told you that I was a children's book illustrator, and you said, gosh, you know, pickleball really could use a good children's book that kind of helps bring in this, and fosters these younger kids and gets them excited about pickleball. And I had been just, you know how the stars line up sometimes. I had been looking for my next book idea. And one thing that I've learned is you don't want to create something in self-publishing unless you have the market in mind for it and how you're going to distribute it before you make the thing. And we have a children's book class in our school, and it's called Children's Book Pro. And that's the first lesson that we teach them. We know you have good ideas, and some of them might work. But as a self-publisher, unlike the big publishers who can do mass market broad appeal because they have the budgets and they have the distribution chains, if you're going to self-publish, you need to talk to a specific niche group, right? So pickleball was perfect. And that's another thing. You have to be passionate about it. You have to really care about the thing you're creating for, right? So we fell in love with pickleball only 2 years in, and it's a perfect little niche market. So I was in right away. Now the next thing was to come up with a story, and that's kind of where we came up with Pickleball Palm.
So I'll tell you, it was such fun being, I've never had any experience with writers or books or publishing or anything in that order. And the little adventure that I went on with you guys, I love the part. I don't know if you remember when you were sending me these early drawings, early illustrations, kind of getting my sense. And I said, well, how would I know anything? And I said, but why are they animals? Why are you showing me little animals? Why aren't these boys and girls? And you told me, you said, you can't be in the gender and you can't be in the race issue because you never have the right combination. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? But it was the idea that I thought when we came up with, should we name all the characters after high profile juniors in the pickleball space? Yeah. And the fact that our characters, you know, are named Georgia, mm-hmm. and Anna and Hayden. And it's such fun that I had met all those kids when I was traveling early in their very young careers. So that's been fun. But the niche market, then, that was really something that you impressed me with when you were describing that, because I always thought of our so much of our market, and when we're at a pickleball tournament or we're at a festival of some kind, it's an awful lot of parents and grandparents and the mm-hmm. idea of having a book. When people see the caliber of illustration that you do, that's so far beyond what most children's books are, there's nothing simple or nothing immature about the illustrations that Will Terry does. It's just dazzling stuff. I want to step up here to just another point as we're talking about this thing is the SVS Learn. I remember you talking about that, but I spent some time doing my research prior to this. I think it's really important that you kind of explain what that is and how people engage with you, because I've seen the testimonials that are in there of people who were very, very pleased that it was a solution for them. Take us through the SVS Learn product.
Yeah. Well, we identified, you know, so I went to school, and one of the things that I didn't like when I was going to university was this mad rush of kids talking to each other, like, don't take this class from this teacher, try to get it from this teacher. Oh, that teacher's filled up. Well, you'll have to wait till next year to get it, right? And that was one frustration I had was, gosh, you know, everybody pays the same amount, but then there's this jockeying for position, which didn't seem fair, right? That was one problem we wanted to solve, which was let students pick the teacher that they want. They can take it from the teacher, because we're going to remove that that barrier of class limit size, and it's going to be more self-serve. So the videos are laid down by the teacher you want. You can watch them anytime. It's also not bound by geography. So anybody in any country can take our classes. It's not bound by your schedule, where if you went to a brick and mortar school, you have to stop, you know, you can't be working at the same time. But with ours, you can fit it in anytime during your day. And then the cost was a big thing. We looked at, you know, gosh, why does it cost so much to go to school? And we decided not to go the accredited route. We have 15 teachers, but there's three of us that started that we all taught at university. And we just really, really wanted to have the best teaching, the lowest price, and make it super convenient for people and be really focused in on our main focus is children's books. Our second is comics. There's just a lot of people that really want to get into those industries. And most universities, art schools they don't have a children's book class. So we're really niche. We're not so much a replacement for brick and mortar, because there is a synergy that you get when you go to an established school where you're sitting next to a physical person and you can just lean over and talk to them and say, what did the teacher just say? What did he mean by that? Or what does she mean by that? What was the homework? Can you explain what I didn't understand it? You know, we're missing some of that. We do make it up. We do have a community that's online and it's vibrant, but it's, in my opinion, it's not exactly the same as, you know, being able to meet with someone. But boy, have we a lot of our students have gone on to do publishing, both in the traditional markets and also self-publishing.
Really what I want to kind of jump into, the illustration side of things. People will see the book. You look up the Pickleball Paul books or any of the Will Terry He's got a tremendous visibility on Google and on, you know, his LinkedIn page and all of the things. You'll see the quality of work that he does. But I really want to spend a little bit of time talking about the business side of that and how you help guide people, because that's the people that I run into in the pickleball space. They're they have an interesting story to tell, or they have a life history that now has got them into pickleball, and that for whatever reason they're deciding they would like to do this and they don't know what to do. How do you guide somebody like that?
So there's that's a great question. There's so many different answers to that. It really depends, I think, on a couple of factors. One, how big do they want to go? A lot of people approach me and they say, I just want to get my stories published for my family and for friends. And, you know, and I don't need that many copies, but I really want to get this story. This is a story I've been telling my kids and my grandkids now, and I want to get it published. And then there's people that say, you know, well, I really want to make more of a go of this and see if the market will like what I'm creating. And then there's people that go, I really want to be professionally published by the traditional market. And, you know, that's really all I'm concerned about is finally getting picked by them. So there's really like three buckets of people there. And I think most probably fall into the first or second. So I'll probably talk about those more. Like the traditional route is pretty lengthy. And I would say if anybody who really wants to get published by the big publishers, it kind of needs to be a kind of a 5-year to 10-year goal. And this is something that you're going to be working on, like treating it like a full-time job for 5 to 10 years. The downside to that is you could invest that time and never get chosen, you know? So that's the reality. And I have people all the time ask me, like, how do you get into publishing with these big publishers? And they're just know this, that there's way more demand or way more supply than there is demand. And so that's kind of the problem there. Right. But if it's your goal and your dream, it can be done. And there are new authors and new illustrators being chosen every month of every year, with the big publishers and the medium sized publishers and the small publishers. And that's a route that you can definitely go. The first, let's talk about, well, yeah, let's talk about the second one, and then we'll talk about the first one. So the second one would be, I want to self-publish, and I really want the world to love what I'm doing, right? And if it goes big, great. And if not, oh well, it's not that big a deal. It's not my life or my career, right? And I would say, probably the most important technology that has come forth that I know of in the last 5 to 10 years is Amazon print on demand. It's an absolutely amazing thing that a lot of people don't know. Of course, there's a ton of people taking advantage of it right now, but so many people don't understand how amazing and powerful it is, and it's free. It's totally free. So you can, so what I did, maybe I'll back up and share kind of what I did with Pickleball Paul. Because I am a serial entrepreneur now, I wanted to print physical books, hardcover books, right? And, but I also wanted to participate in Amazon. So I went to, I wrote the story, I made the illustrations, and I hired an editor / graphic designer. I have a friend who is both, right? And she's not cheap. I think I paid about $3,500 to have her edit and design Pickleball Paul, both that book and the Missing Paddle book, the sequel. And she's just really, really good. So that I had to incur that cost. And then I wanted the hardcover really nice books to sell. And so I went to China because you can get, I mean, you just cannot beat our domestic prices. Now, tariffs could change that, you know, If that comes into play, then we deal with that. But everybody will be playing on the same playing field, theoretically, right? So it should change it for everyone, or it doesn't. But I'm not going to worry about that right now. But so I went to China, and I got my I got my books for a really, really low price, right? So that there's room there that you can do Facebook marketing, and you can spend some money doing that. That's a whole nother subject. And then, you know, we have a mutual friend, Bill Knopp, who sells my books at tournaments. And that was part of the factor in choosing to do Pickleball Paul was I had that before I made the book. I talked to Bill and I'm like, hey, I knew that he travels the country and doing tournaments and selling various products at tournaments. And I thought, if I can get a commitment from him, I'll do it. If I can't, I don't have the time to sell them myself. Right.
Sure.
So I locked him down first. He loved the idea, showed him the sketches. I didn't want to spend all this time and effort and money and have him go, you know, I don't really think it'll fit with my brand. You know, I really needed to suss him out, and he was totally on board, and he's done amazingly well selling me. So I went to and got the physical books, but I also at the same time did the soft cover print on demand through Amazon, because I knew that if he were going to these tournaments and selling, that people would get on their phone and go, well, I wonder if I can get this cheaper on Amazon. Cause there's a certain group of people out there, right, who will buy almost everything on Amazon or look for it cheaper. You know, if I see something on Facebook and I'm like, oh, I want that. If I made the mistake of buying a few things, and then my wife is like, look, honey. And she just looks it up on Amazon and it's like half the price, you know. She's like, you got to do this. So she's one of those people, you know. So whenever he does a tournament, that's so funny that he's calling right now. I forgot to silence my phone. But when he does a tournament, he'll sell a bunch of the books, and then my Amazon sales will spike that same day, you know, or that same weekend. If he doesn't do a tournament, I don't see a spike on Amazon. So people are actually doing that. They get on their phone and they look for it. Now it's a soft cover, so it doesn't compete with what he's selling, because it's not the same product, you know? But I just got to say, one of the most amazing things about Amazon is that there's a problem if you make something domestically here in the US and you want to ship it to another country, the cost of shipping is almost always double what the product cost is.
Sure.
And it makes the customer angry, and it gets you frustrated because you don't want your customer to be upset. There's nothing you can do about it. They will say, you know, your customer will say, well, if you ship a bunch over here to Europe, then that distribution center can then ship them to us for much cheaper. And that's true. But if you don't have the numbers to justify that, I mean, like, you have to have 2,000 sales before you could even think of doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, or 200 sales, is that, did I say 2,000? I think,
yes.
Yeah, 200. 2,000. Yeah, I think you need 200 sales, but that's like every month to make it worthwhile. So anyway, but Amazon solved that problem. They put printers in multiple parts of the world. So Australia, they have printers down there to print these books. So when someone orders my book in Germany, yep, it's printed in Germany or close to Germany, and they qualify for prime shipping, right? If someone orders it in Canada, it's printed up there. If someone orders it, and so effectively they have beaten that problem just by manufacturing in those different parts of the world. It's absolutely amazing. You can specify how many pages you want. The Amazon back end office is surprisingly easy. If I can navigate it, anybody can. I am not a techie guy, you know, when it comes to trying to figure out these kinds of things. And so that's my litmus test. If I can do it, any of you guys can.
And then on that order, Will, talk a little bit about the posters that you did, because that's been such a cool piece. And does Amazon, are they able to do the same thing remotely with your posters? Because that's such a cool, unique piece. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, so they don't do that. And so people that order online cannot get the poster.
Okay.
But I wanted to do that poster because, one, for me, because it just seemed so fun. But I also knew that I could include it in the sequel book. So I already thought about, one of the things we talk about in our school is whenever you create a piece of art, you want to have at least three lives for it, right? So like one life would be, I advertise my book with this image on social media. Another purpose is it's a poster. And another one is it's one of the spreads in the book. Right. So it has these different functions. And that just means that you get more bang for your buck out of the time you spend making the art. But yeah, it was a really fun part of it. And, you know, as a kid, I loved hidden pictures. And so I hid 100 pickles, like, you know, just like pickles in that poster. And we came up with a coloring book version. So kids can, when they find one, they can highlight it. And it's just been an amazingly fun thing
for kids. And one of the things that I'll tell people, I'm going to give you a testimonial. So I had this fun experience with Will, helping him kind of come up with an idea. And then he ran with this thing. My grandchildren are so over the moon. And the reason I emphasize the posters is the coloring book portion of it. My 6-year-old grandson is now, he's got the 4-color version on the wall, and now he's doing his coloring. But it's such an interaction. And to me, it's so much more professionally developed, the concept, the whole Pickleball Paul series. And then I think it speaks so well in our sport of pickleball. And any parent or grandparent that has kids that they want to have fun with the pickleball thing, it's an amazing book, and the posters I think are sort of the frosting on the cake.
Yeah, it was fun. It's just a fun project all the way around.
So now, you know, people will know about Will Terry. People will hopefully start to look into what your actual skill set is, because it's pretty darn impressive. The books. What is there anything else that you're working on, and it doesn't have to be just in the pickleball space, but the business of what you do, I thought was very interesting, and I thought it could be helpful to a lot of other people. Is there anything else that you can think of that would be good in this short encapsulation period to guide people? At the end, I'm going to certainly ask you to give very specific information how to get in touch with you and the SVS Learning site. What should people be thinking about if they really want to take the first step in publishing?
Yeah, I think if I'm assuming this audience is, you know, mostly pickleball. So let's just start there, but it could apply to any niche market, right? So one of the things that I really relied on was I went straight to Amazon. And Amazon really is like, it's a good research tool. So I wanted to see like, okay, well, has anybody else done a children's book for pickleball? So I, you know, and I being new to pickleball, I hadn't seen anything. I hadn't even thought about it. So I go out there and yeah, there were two or three other children's pickleball books, which I was actually really surprised that there were any. So I was like, hey, maybe I'll be first in this market. The thing to realize that when there were three, I was actually at first, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be the first. I was a little disappointed. But then I realized that's actually really good. That tells me that there are people already thinking along this lines. And if you ever notice, restaurant entrepreneurs never locate their restaurant all by itself, right? They're always located near other restaurants because they know that people go to an area and then choose and pick. And one day it might be my restaurant. And the next day it might be my competitors, but that's okay. we're all kind of in this synergy area of this is where you go to buy food, right? And I think the same thing is true for children's books in niche markets like pickleball. So I looked to see how many there were. And one of the main things that you've got to do if you're trying to self-publish is on Amazon, you've got to make sure that you're showing up on that first page, right? And there are actually tools that you can use to do research without going complex. On Amazon, there are people that sell research tools to look at different niche markets and determine whether they're too big or they're too small, right? You want something that's big enough, that's got lots of people looking for that genre, but not too big that when you launch yours, you're on the 6th or 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th page and you'll never get to the first. Because let's face it, do you ever click into the second page of products on Amazon?
Sure.
We just don't. I mean, every now and then, if you're really looking, you'll go to the second page. But and so I looked at that and I thought, wow, I will immediately be on the first page. So that's great, you know. And if I do a good job and I can get good reviews, I'll probably shoot up. And Pickleball Paul has been, you know, either the number one children's book in within pickleball, or number two or three, but it's always right there. And the same with the missing paddle. So that's super important. I think people need to know that. And I don't know, I don't know what else I should elaborate on that.
Well, then, you know, let's do this. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Should they come and then how do they find out more about the SVS learning system? Give us the details of how to track that down.
Yeah. So, you can simply, go to the site, svslearn.com. And it's pretty self-explanatory there. I'd be happy to answer anybody's question. If they wanted to email me, I get emails. One thing that I pride myself on is I go through my inbox every day and I love talking to people. So, you know, I have no problem if somebody wanted to email me direct at will@willterry.com. That's my email, will@willterry.com. And yeah, like I'll just mention one other project. We talked about that game. So it's not a pickleball game, but it's a card game called Wicked Christmas. And the story behind this is that there's chaos in Santa's workshop and everything goes haywire for one day and everybody's angry from the holiday stress. So it's just a really fun game, but we put this out, we sold it for Christmas and we sold 2,000, we printed 14,000. We're planning on having a big season this next year. Like right now, because we did it via Kickstarter. Do you know what Kickstarter is? Have we ever talked about that?
No, but you should. I'm aware of what it is, but that actually is a good subject for this interview.
Yeah, and one of the things we teach our students is really at least familiarize yourself with what Kickstarter is. So Kickstarter.com, a website that I think was launched probably 12, 13, 14 years ago. And all it is, to simplify it, is it's a website where in the old business model, you used to make a product and then market it and sell it, right? And in this model with Kickstarter, you describe your product in a mock-up and then you market that idea to people who most of them already know what Kickstarter is. Some of them, a lot of them don't as well. And you say, this is the thing I'm going to make. I'm going to sell it to you now. And then I'm going to take your money and I'm going to go order it at the printer. And then I'm going to ship it to you 2, 3, 4 months down the road. And it's an amazing technology for artists who don't have a huge budget, don't have a lot of money. We get to collect the money first and then go make the thing, right? So we sold 2,000 of these games on Kickstarter. And just in the last couple of weeks, I've been taking truckloads of those game boxes to the post office. And it's been so fun. But I get all these emails from people that say, you know, maybe they had a little bit of a problem with an order, or maybe they they didn't understand one of the rules in the game and they want a little clarification. And I absolutely love going through my inbox and just talking to these customers who bet on us, you know, and that's a big thing. Is if you can have a relationship with your customers and take pride and have fun helping them through this, that, or the other. Some of them didn't understand. They paid, we had a special thing where they could get an expansion pack for $1. If they did that early on, in the pre-launch, so that they could get a $5 expansion for only $1. And some people thought they bought the whole game for $1. So we were like, you know, you had to explain, no, that was just for the expansion, but here's the link to buy the game. And they're like, oh, okay. Getting through all that has just been super fun. I have a really good business partner that's helping me with that. And this is a life that I love, is, you know, making stuff as an artist and getting it out to people. And now more than ever, I think the biggest challenge for young people is understanding how amazing these technologies are, especially like I grew up without the internet. You grew up without the internet. And for us, I think it's easy to see, wait, there's a website where you can just describe what you're going to make and then collect money for it. And like, what, you know, but a lot of kids that we find that are, you know, taking our classes that are maybe in their young, you know, early 20s, I don't think a lot of them understand, like, because they grew up with the internet and with phones and stuff, I don't think they realize what an amazing transformation we've gone through in the last 20, 30 years actually is, especially for small creators. The world is, I mean, to me, the American dream is very much alive in self-publishing. You just have to, you know, you have to work hard, but you have to see the technologies and the advantages for what they are and be able to understand how you can take advantage of them and get your product out into the world.
Well, that's great. And I'll tell you, before we sign off, I want to tell, because this is my audience obviously is a lot of pickleball people, look for Bill Knopp at the next tournament. He isn't at all of the tournaments, but he's at a lot of them. And he and his wife, they travel the entire country through the course of the year. And go online and pick up the books. You will not be disappointed. It's really a beautifully, beautifully done hardcover book that you'll be proud to give to your children and grandchildren. That being said, Will, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great. And I'll look forward to seeing you in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, you too. Keep your shorts on this time.
Edit that.